Fuck me!
Did you forget to press record?
No, I pressed the button and I thumb nudged the pause button. So it's all that gold is gone. Right, we're going to start again. This is textbook cheap show bullshit. So, Eli, I need you to be my hype man. Hamp man.
Fuck. I'm a hand man.
You're a hand hamp man. Hand hype man.
I'm a hand shandy man.
You're a hand... Right, so, hello, welcome to Cheap Show, the economy comedy podcast. And this week we have got a great... big, lovely, wonderful, years in the making surprise, don't we, Eli?
Absolutely, it's a humdinger. Don't thumb nudge the box again. Whatever you do, because this one's working.
You can put that on a t-shirt.
Yes, Paul, what's so special about today's episode of Cheap Show?
Well, how about we just let everyone introduce themselves and then the listener can infer their own. First contestant number one, what's your name and where'd you come from?
Hi, I'm Chris. No one knows who I am, so that's a good start.
No, everyone knows who you are.
Oh, come on.
Technical crew, no one cares.
They care.
I care.
I care.
I wouldn't have invited you if I didn't care, would I? Hey?
Okay, thank you.
I wish you hadn't come now. Right.
We care a lot, by faith no more.
Yeah. Contestant number two, what's your name and where do you come from?
Hello, I'm not Dan and I'm from Norwich.
Oh, he's doing that thing.
What do you mean that thing?
Where you come
from? The thing you started about...
Ryan, we've all moved on.
No, we haven't. That's the whole point of doing this.
The point of coming back.
She's like, oh, no one liked me. Wrong. He's like, you're like,
no one likes you.
Wrong. 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 There's right, not been enough lads in cousin-based chat yet.
AKA
Ryan.
Ryan.
Hello,
thank
everyone.
You. Thank you. Christ, I regret all of this already. Contestant number three, what's your name and where do you come from?
Hello, I'm Stuart. I'm just a man with a man's courage.
Oh, I see. You see? None of your daftness that
what
I don't want to be
shit
here,
again
shit.
For?
And finally, contestant number four, what's your name and where do you come from?
I am Barry from the West Country and I've still not beaten Stuart at anything. Oh, no, I did beat you at one thing.
You did?
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was, but that still burns.
It was, yes.
Yeah. Like 3 a.m.
Oh, the Connect Four, yeah.
It was a real moment, that.
It was.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. Holding on to that.
Do you still dream of it at night?
Yeah,
do you have a photograph on your wall?
It's on my gravestone. Yeah.
Hey, well, you may be able to level the playing field today. I'm just going to leave that there.
Ooh. Tension.
So, it is a Bartians Cheap Show reunion special, and you're welcome along to it. Why not come in and have fun?
Press the fucking credits.
Yes, it is a Bartians Cheap Show special type thing, and we are going to do what we can to entertain you. Well, where are you going? You're taking your clothes off. What?
Oh,
it's like, it's like working with Sooty. What's going
like
on? Taking your coat off. Yeah. All right, good. Well, all the boys and girls love it.
Paul?
Yeah?
Think of something to say that isn't based on me or repeating what I say, okay? I'm not going to be here for you every time, all right?
Isn't that the point?
Yeah, that's kind of the point, isn't it?
It's going to be heartbreaking.
You're literally the co-host. Yeah.
All right, I'll tell you what then. What we will do to get started is one person couldn't be, actually two people couldn't be here today. Yes. So Riyad was meant to be here today as well. Director, famed superstar and filth merchant. I know the secrets. If he's listening, I know his secrets. But also, we couldn't get Izzy here today. But Izzy did leave us a voice message. So I'm going to play it now.
Hi everyone, it's Izzy, Azeem. I'm really looking forward to filming the Bartians reunion with you all, and I'm really sorry I couldn't be here at this mini one. Paul's asked me to say my favourite Bartians memory, so I'm going to have to go with any time we recorded Sharticles. It was so funny, and honestly, watching Barry slowly lose his mind was just... I was just crying from laughter every time, which, come to think of it, is probably why the camera angles were always so bad. Well, anyways, have a lovely day, guys. And Gannon, just while I've got you, sorry, this is a bit of a weird timing to bring this up, but you actually owe me a fiver.
Oh, no. That's fine. We won't need to turn it off. Anyway, that's Izzy. She can't be here, but she sends her love. But she did mention Sharticles, so I thought, to get us all in the mood, I found some Sharticles.
Oh,
and I'm going to give you the topics, and all you got to do, right, is tell me which one you want to start with. So we have today, the topics are whales or rats. Hamsters, there's a bit of a theme, a late book, bollocks, farters, and lost and found. What do you want to start with? I'll tell you what, since it's Stuart and Barry, we'll start with Stuart. What would you like?
Okay. I'm interested in the late book.
All right, okay. I found this story, it's not as shocking, this story, but I found it fascinating. So, the story is, mysterious note found inside book returned to library 37 years late. And you think, story unpeels, there might be something more to it. So I'll just read it as is. A book on the use of hallucinogenic drugs has been returned to a library 37 years after it was originally borrowed. Psychedelics by Bernard Aronson was due back on May 30th, 1987. The resulting trip, it seemed, took longer than expected, as the book was now late by a staggering 13,437 days. Attached to the book was a post-it note, which simply said, "Sorry, so late, it's been a long, strange trip." And I'm just wondering if the guy dropped something, nodded off, and then 37 years later, he was like,
"Rip Van Winkle."
No, you see, you're making a lot of factual errors about hallucinogens there.
Let's get the drug dealing expert in.
So I'm just going to ask immediately, was it you, Eli? Did you take that book out? Okay.
It was not me. I would never return a library book. Fuck that.
Sounds like the book did its job, though, right?
Just go back to the library. Like,
yeah.
What?
Anyway, there are no substances that can make you trip for 37 years.
You don't
know
that.
The longest is Do It, what they call Do It or STP, which apparently is at least 17 hours, full on nightmare fuel.
So it's a bit like doing this fucking podcast with you.
I won't be doing that. That was starting to come in towards the end of the hippie period, and that's when you got the crazies. Crazy people on Do It or STP. So don't do that.
17 hours of a trip.
So LSD, for a comparison, is sort of 6 to 8, 6 to 10 hours. A magic mushroom is more like 4, or psilocybin, 4 to 6 hours.
But you could feel like you'd experienced time dilation part of the trip.
That happens to me on MDMA, especially, weirdly, which isn't as a psychedelic No, I've had really strange time dilation experiences, especially on pills.
But if everybody else experiences it too, and they actually think your library book is late, then that's quite sinister, I think.
Yes. And also, what did you say as well? He nodded off. You're thinking of opioids, not hallucinogens, my friend.
I love the fact he's correcting me over slight whimsy that I've decided to add to the story.
It's just not real, though, is it?
What if?
You're sloppy. It's
what if he was in
work-
a coma for 37 years off the back of taking a drug?
Again, not a realistic assumption.
Why can't it be?
People don't go into comas from taking psychedelic drugs.
You don't know that.
I do know
you
that.
You take a drug, you go, whoa, isn't it lovely? You fall off a building, crack your head, you go into a coma.
Yes.
All right?
Yeah, good.
Thank you. Yeah. I've legitimised my slight amusements. Barry, have you ever cooked with magic mushrooms?
Not intentionally, anyway. I've had a couple of strong risottos and things, so maybe. But,
have you ever had, though, like an inkling to make like a pot brownie? Or anything like that.
Yeah. The brownies, definitely. The herbal ones for a certain friend's 40th, he did request them.
Oh, really? Mention any names.
No.
It's tricky cooking with that kind of material. I don't know why we're being so fucking cool.
Yeah, I was thinking it was going to, like, if you bake it, it would wilt and lose its, power, but apparently it doesn't. So,
No, there's a certain temperature, you need to keep it. It's a certain time to bake and stuff like that. They've done all of the things.
Yeah. I'm very inexperienced in these types of burnt leaves.
I think it can be more effective to use hashish.
Nice.
For next time. Yeah, for the next 40 if you do.
When in London, you know.
Yeah, true.
Resin, as it's known.
It's like having the old weird uncle come to a Christmas party.
Not in front of the children.
Not in front of the children. Don't leave that outside. It's not welcome in here with that kind of stuff. Yeah. Barry, did you know you can make cake with vinegar?
I haven't done that before, but I've heard of it.
Heard of it this week. It blew my mind.
Yeah, there's a vinegar pie that I've done with sugar and vinegar, and that baked into a pastry was really cool, actually, but not quite as a hallucinogenic, but, you know, it was up there.
There's a thing called crazy cake, which was a Depression-era cake. I'm only going this because of the whole cake weed thing, but they use vinegar because it mixes with the baking soda and it creates more of a foam when it rises, so it creates a fluffier cake.
Well, the acidity and sort of. Yeah. Nice.
Anyway.
Yeah, but it tastes of vinegar.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't taste of vinegar at all. It's just there. It's a tiny amount that's just used as a kind of agent to create a frothier, foamier.
Yeah, I get that. I'd be into it if it did taste more of vinegar.
You want more vinegar?
I like vinegar. Yeah. Bacon.
Woo. That's not vinegar.
No, you put vinegar on it, popping off.
I've not tried that.
No, just
really, try a few little bit of malt vinegar on your bacon.
Barry, you'll go home today with new video ideas for your channel.
I'm off to quick save now on the way home.
I'm making a vinegar-based pop cake for everyone to enjoy today.
Whilst we're on the vinegar subject, is it true, was it you who mentioned vinegar sandwiches to me?
Oh, no, what? I didn't.
Vinegar sandwiches?
This is, I think some people do vinegar sandwiches.
Is that a porn star name?
No, I think you need a protective layer of butter or margarine.
Right. Ooh.
The vinegar
goes
on top of
that. Vinegar is the filling?
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you have to keep it level, or is it, how's that work?
I don't know if it's that much vinegar, that so sloppage would be an issue. But
the dumbest thing I heard was a toast sandwich. Which is two slices of bread with a slice of toast in the middle.
Oh, I had that actually.
Really?
I can't imagine. Heston Blumenthal's Fat Duck. He did this. Not the Wizard of Oz. With the Mad Hatter.
Mad Hatter's
tea party, and he did this like tiny. It was an 8-course like thing that we went along to, and it was another 40th birthday. But they had like one triangle sandwich.
You've got to stop going to 40th birthdays. Yeah,
that's what I do. Whose 40th is this? It's a triangular sandwich, and it was soft and soft, and in the middle was a layer of toast, and that was insane. It gave it like a slight chew and this like.
Yeah. I can imagine that being quite delicious.
Yeah, yeah.
A bit under-seasoned, though.
Yeah, it needed vinegar.
Did you use duck fat or something on the...
I'm not sure, but it still had like a filling in it, but like it felt like a soft sandwich, and then you got like a layer of toast in the middle.
The amount
like,
of money
wow.
he charges for his restaurant, and he's serving fucking toast sandwiches.
Oh, really?
Sorry, that's a piss take.
I want it made of children's dreams for that money.
Right.
Yeah.
Barry, next article, you can pick it. What do you want to do? Do you want whales? You want whales?
Yeah, I like animals.
Yeah, you're going to love this one.
Or is it the country?
No, it's not the country. It is humpback whales photographed having sex for the first time.
Oh, wow.
But both were male.
Ooh.
So there you go. It's got proof.
Hang on. It was the first time they'd had sex or the first time it'd been photographed?
The first time they've ever been photographed having sex.
Whale
without
sex.
Their consent.
Yeah. I was going to say, did they not sign the Piscine waiver?
It just says here.
Photographed. So you ask if they're mammals.
They're doing whale.
Whale? Yeah, I'm going to everyone will be using that.
There
going
he is.
Year.
He's back.
Sorry.
Photographs have captured images of humpback whales engaging in sexual activity for the first time, and the mammals in question were both males. They were humpbacks and
bareback.
The bareback whale.
Yeah.
That's what they call me. Here comes the bareback whale. Right in my blubber.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. I'm glad nobody like was recording the face you made when you did that. That was unholy.
It was the bobbing up and down for me.
Yeah. Oh, that was a vinegar sandwich face.
Anyway, the humpbacks have been studied for years by scientists, but a study published this week featured the first photographs of the species having penetrative sex, its authors have said. The whole discovery was opportunistic as the whale slowly approached the photographer's boat.
The whole discovery... Which leads me on to...
Yes, what does it lead you on to? I'd be
my
curious
thesis.
To know.
I wonder which, if it was blowhole or bumhole.
That was the whole
the discovery.
Eternal choice.
One of these whales made a whole discovery on the other whale. I mean...
It said here, photos show a healthy and strong male penetrating another and sex took place. Blah, 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 blah.
Wow.
Blah, blah, blah. Blah. That's it in a nutshell, really. The rest of it's just scientists going on about how it's nice to take a picture of two sexing whales.
It's just another example of homosexuality in animals, which the fascists don't want to hear about.
Yeah, well, they're hearing about it now.
Also, I have another whale fact.
All right.
I think it's sperm. They discovered...
That's your awful kids book, isn't it? I think it's sperm.
Great scratch and sniff book, that one.
Scratch and sniff edition.
Go on.
They are the only other mammal to experience menopause.
Really?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
They've just discovered... it's not conclusive because they were using whale corpses to look at their big ovaries and all that. But... they're speculating they do not know why. No other mammals, apart from us, obviously, go through the menopause. And the obvious sort of conclusion you could draw for why that happens is that they need the whale mums around to help with, you know,
all right,
learning
does
how
that mean,
to hunt and
does
so
that mean
forth,
you could
you know?
Potentially give a whale HRT?
Yes.
Oh.
Mm. Well, we've all learned something about whales, probably too much.
Wow.
Ryan, you can pick the next one. We've got rats, hamsters, bollocks, farters, lost and found.
Hamsters, please.
Oh, hamsters. Oh, you're like
Let
this
Let me guess,
one.
First two words.
What?
Richard Gere. Hey, hey, airplane food.
Says Paul Rudd here. Sorry. So, woman... What?
Is there a Rudd rumour? Yes.
No. Yeah. I mean, I'm starting one now, but it's guinea pigs with him.
They move like a... I did an advert once where they had two guinea pigs on the set, and then one of them ran away. Serious movers, guinea pigs.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I once had one go into a sock, couldn't get it out, had to cut the sock apart.
To get a guinea pig out?
Yeah, would not come out. It liked it in that sock.
I think guinea...
or its reverse gear was broken. Yeah.
I like guinea pigs. Gear. Yeah. Oh.
Thank you.
I'm pro guinea pig over here.
What? You didn't need to take a stand on that. But
was anybody anti-guinea pig? Did I miss that?
Well, everyone wants hamsters, don't they? Do you know what? Hamsters aren't even a fucking real species.
Fuck off.
What
does
that mean?
I love my hamster.
Yeah, it's an animal of a type, but they're not sure. It's sort of like...
They think it's a vegetable or something.
It's not a proper species of animal.
What's a strange hill to die on? Is this because is this your pro guinea pig propaganda that you're spreading now? It's like down with hamsters, guinea pigs are us.
Are you getting a hamster out of your pocket?
And a guinea pig. You're going to have a fight. Look,
listen, here's the story. Woman takes dead hamster, Spud, that's the name of the hamster, on tour of Europe because Spud loved travelling. A woman has travelled more than 1,500 miles with her pet hamster. Oh, well, she took her at his ashes and took him on a tour of his favourite places. Lisa, 47, carried Spud in a vial around her neck to some of Europe's most recognisable sites, including the Louvre and Buckingham Palace. And she had him. She said she couldn't go out during lockdown, and Spud died during lockdown. And so now she's taking Spud around the world in her ashes around her neck.
Yeah. You've got a baked a cake thing. With hamster ashes.
Not yet. Very Korean, I think. Very Asian hamster and guinea pig, isn't it?
She said, "It's a nice warm feeling that we're still travelling together. I have a sense that he's still present on our adventures. Whenever we travelled, I made sure his necklace was on view. The locket hangs, so he's just above my heart."
And then, you know what she said?
What?
"Can I please have my £2,000 for doing this? Because I'm a shameless piece of shit." Fuck you and your stupid vial of... Fuck off. You attention-seeking little...
I'm blaming whoever wrote the articles. It led with, "Woman takes hamster around the world." Oh, by the way, it's dead.
Yeah, and it's in a
and
tube.
And cremated.
In your neck.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I
"Woman takes jewellery around the world." You know it's less exciting, isn't it?
You know? Slightly unusual pendant goes with woman around the world.
Barry.
I want to know how that
was the... why do you think the name was Spud? Where do you think the name Spud came from?
I don't know. Maybe she just fed it chips or something. Quite a niche diet for hamsters. Yeah. But I want to know how it knew that it liked the world. Like... Well, did she just show, like, "Wish You Were Here" or something?
I think it's because
Judith Chalmers. Judith Chalmers.
Spud was a big fan of Judith Chalmers and travel documentaries.
Yeah.
Big fan of Michael Palin's Around the World in 80 Days.
How the fuck did they get that through customs, though? I mean, seriously.
It's just a pendant around their neck. They probably didn't even talk about it.
But she said they described it as a vial, which would imply that you can see the contents.
Oh, really? I thought it was blood, isn't it?
It's just a little bit of ash.
Ash.
Fluids are the problem.
It's true, I suppose.
Lisa has spent
over 150 million.
Drug related.
This is all right. Yeah. Guinea pig, bit big.
Perhaps she had to tip some out into a little bin.
Put it in a little clear bag.
Pull one out for
the hamster bin.
Should have put it in a salt and shake. Just do that.
Can I make a little
guess why the name's called Spud?
Because that's how it died.
What? Ooh. It was eaten along.
It was baked potato day.
Right.
Oh. Where's my hamster?
Oh.
Or at least I'll make loads of money off Metro.
No.
That shameless piece of crap rag.
So you think she named the hamster? It went 2 years, whatever it was. Then it died. Then she decided to name it.
Oh, yeah.
Hang on. That's a great idea.
The answer is because her favourite film is Trainspotting, and that's one of the characters' names.
Is that actually true?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, the hamster's got a favourite TV show and a favourite film.
Yeah.
And he loves travelling.
No, the woman Lisa likes. No, you're getting confused. It's the hamster that likes travelling and seeing the world, but Lisa just likes the film Trainspotting.
I just think when two people have such different interests, it's nice that they can still find a common ground.
And the hamster
it?
Loved heroin as well.
So. Yeah. Snorted it up.
So Ewan Bremner named hamster.
Yeah.
Of course.
And she spent £7,500 on the journey.
Oh,
Wow.
Well, that's to be fair, she was just going on holiday and taking something with her. So, yeah. I mean,
She got a newspaper to fund her holiday. The shamelessness.
Well,
of
I don't know if she funded the holiday.
I bet she did. I bet you get at least 10 grand for a story like that.
No chance. Not with the crap. No? They probably just copied it off somebody else.
A few hundred quid.
Gave somebody
maybe
3 pence.
Chris, do you want to hear this last story? Do you want to hear rats or bollocks? Rats or bollocks? Which
what about
one?
Farters?
What about rats? Oh, and farters, yeah. And sorry, farters, bollocks, or rats.
I'll stick on bollocks, please.
Right, bollocks. Now, this is for all the men listening, obviously, right now. The newest beauty obsession for men sounds quite painful. Blokes are having Botox in their bollocks to make them look plumper and younger.
Wow.
That doesn't sound like a good thing to do.
What? And you know what the product's called? And this is why a part of my brain thinks this is a load of shit.
Botox?
It's called Scrotox.
Oh.
A Graxton Industries product.
It's like a planet from Dune.
That's the spice.
We do not travel to Scrotox Prime.
So it's a botulinum toxin that is injected into the testicles and gives the skin a smoothing effect. Ooh. That makes them appear plumper and younger.
If you look at how stretchy your sack is, how
mine particularly.
Particularly yours,
obviously. I mean, I'll do it.
Yes, it's coming out of your sock, mate. Please.
How big would you have to make it to smooth out all those wrinkles? I mean, surely...
Mm. The easiest thing would just be get a little elastic band, pull back all the skin
a little bit,
and then wrap the band around it, and then you've got like pigtails.
Like photo shoots for shirts when they clip the back of them.
Yeah.
My scrotal clips.
That's a great website.
I think there's a business opportunity here.
Yeah.
My non-surgical scrotal pegs.
It's the word peg that sold it for me.
Yeah, the clip around the thigh or something, wouldn't it?
Would you get it done?
Maybe, yeah. Like, if it was discreet, over trousers, under trousers.
Does your wife? Does your wife?
Oh, that'd be an excellent thing, wouldn't it? Imagine we'd evolved clothing so that there was men had a bollock cleavage. And so you showed the top, and it had a little collar,
just a tease.
And then there'd be some point.
V-neck trousers, V-neck kind
of little
undies.
V-neck thing. It's just like, oh, lovely cleavage on those nads.
I reckon there's people listening to this going, yeah, that happens at the club I go to. Yeah.
This is, to me, I know this, I don't want to come across.
What don't you want to come across, Eli? A tight pair of smooth bollocks?
The vanity, it's suggestive to me of... You know, LBG gay men would be more interesting.
Like the fact you gave up on the
initialism. Too many letters.
I forgot the initialism.
Gay men. You sound like a Daily Mail journalist.
Oh, fuck off. I knew you would. I knew it's a bad point. Anyway, it's the vanity of that.
Oh, get
it's just
this.
Like, come on.
The guy who is now going around boosting this craze is Scottish actor Alan Cumming,
Benny
guys.
Is.
Yeah.
So Nightcrawler? This is putting the X-Men in a different light to me. Yeah.
Sackcrawler. Oh, yeah.
He said he went to a dermatologist after finding some dots on his balls and was told it was a normal part of scrotal aging. God, that's a sad sentence to hear.
Scrotal aging. Scrotal... It's a Star Wars character. Isn't it?
Some men come in and they want to get Botox injected into their testicles, and the procedure is called Scrotox. I hate these articles because I have to scroll past them because they repeat themselves so often.
So it's into the testicles to make the actual spheres larger.
It's like
larger.
Fattening them out so it pulls the skin
back. It doesn't
back.
Fatten the spheres.
Ah.
It's just loosening the skin,
the
sack.
Yeah.
Yes, you don't want it loose though, do you?
No,
surely
no,
you just
no.
That'd look older.
Yeah, caught with the zip.
Yes, that's famously it gets it's longer and longer as the life goes on.
Do you want to plump them up, really?
I wouldn't want to plump them up. You know
who
cares? If I've got to that point with someone where they're going to see my sack, I don't care.
No.
You know?
You passed the point of no return.
That's going to break the deal. I don't want to be intimate with them. Yes. If that's going to break the deal, sack was a bit baggy. I mean, what? The vanity and stupidity of this.
4 stars.
It's always in your pants.
Maybe just put a little kind of, I don't know, veil in
front
of it.
If you're an adult film star or something, then maybe, yes.
Yeah.
If you're making a living off the turgidity of your scrotum, fine. But,
or turn it into like a balloon animal kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Puppetry of the penis.
Just to end this bit, it says, beyond look, Scrotox also has therapeutic benefits. For certain medical conditions, including chronic testicle pain and excessive sweating.
Okay, absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Absolutely fine. But I saw a programme about weird fetishes once, and this guy had gone way too far with enlarging his nuts.
I was about to say, I've not, I remember reading about it afterwards, yeah.
It was very distressing.
They're basically, you know, silicone filler or whatever. Yeah. Not like the stuff you would do around the around the shower or something, but like medical silicone, you know. Just, yeah, injecting it into his ballsack.
Wow.
I haven't seen the image, I've thank Christ. But...
It's the literally
like
this. Yeah.
Like a space hopper.
Yeah.
Humpback whales.
Your own personal space hopper.
With a wheelbarrow in front. Yeah. You know, do the old.
Also, whales, you remember I was in that play, Whale Nation.
It was
contemporary dance along to a poem that I was one of the readers of. And we toured, went to Glastonbury, not the festival, the town, and did it there. I had a whole chapter about whale sex. And I mean, it's something. It really is something. You could swim. A scuba diver could swim down a blue whale's knob. Biggest penis in the animal world.
Well,
I don't know about sperm whales, but
does that mean that the hole's big enough? I can't imagine the hole's that big to swim down,
mate. It's flipping big. It's the largest creature who ever existed.
We need to crowdfund somebody to do this. The urethra swimmer. Who's going to be
that's
the man?
That's the top work a supporter gets that experience.
Yeah.
Come with us.
Do it.
Yeah. Well, that's your articles then for this week. We'll see you next week. Bye, everyone. Now we're going to move on to the next segment of the show. Right, ladies and gentlemen, we are doing a Barshins reunion. I thought, what could we do to keep the joy of those days that we savoured? What can bring that back? What can bring that feeling back? And I thought, what about we do some Bars versus Hens? But not just that, but we're going to mash it with a Price of Shite and New Bet as well. So what's going to happen is, Barry and Stuart, we're going to play three rounds of three different games. You two, Ryan, Chris, you're going to be gaining your own points by one, placing a bet on who you think will win. So you've got to say Barry will win this or Stuart will win this. And then guessing the price of the item that they're playing. And you will be playing for betwings. Eli, explain betwings.
Betwings in Cheap Show are known as betwings, which means they are points. One betwing equals 1 point in any other game show.
There's no rounding up or rounding down. They are what they are. There's no
in pointless. One betwing is actually 8.5 of those pointless points.
Yeah, but this is just a 1-to-1 ratio.
Blockbusters.
Yeah, we're not going off
each between is 1.7 blockbuster points.
You're making it sound like it's the Test Club Club code. Tesco Club card.
Coustar? Wow.
No, sorry. Come again. Betwings are points.
Alan Cumming.
Whale again. Fucking did.
Betwings are points here on Cheap Show.
And you're going to be playing for betwings, and you two will be playing for Bars versus Hens.
Okay. They're precious things. A lot of people go through their whole life, their whole podcast listening life, and then they never get awarded a betwing.
Never?
Not a single solitary betwing.
It's a terrible, terrible
so you
thing
two,
to go without.
If you get a betwing, I want you to hold it under your wing.
Close. Hold that wing under your betwing.
Keep it warm, and perhaps the betwing will hatch and blossom.
So, we have three games today.
Aye, aye, aye! He said betwang under his breath.
No, fuck off, you're... Get out.
Sorry?
You don't come in here, besperch betwing.
No, I said it would hatch into a betwang.
Like, no!
No. Betwang?
No.
We don't know what it hatches into.
You're actually offending our belief system.
Oh,
I don't
sorry,
know if you
guys.
Understand.
I'm very sorry.
I've got so many betwings watched up there. None of them have hatched.
All right, okay.
Oh, I'm not doing very well today, Paul.
So, we have three games, right? Three Bars versus Hens. Yep. We have got a game called the Sock Game.
Okay.
And then we have a Pac-Man game.
Ooh.
And then we have a game called Get a Grip. And we're going to give those a go. And you're going to you two will be guessing the price of the items and which one Barry or Stuart will win.
So, am I right in thinking, Paul? We have two parallel... face-offs going on.
Yes.
Ooh.
We've got Barry versus Stuart, Ryan versus Chris.
Yeah.
So I'm going to need two separate game columns of two columns each.
You're going
to
need to be on your game to keep these scores.
I need four columns. Is that what you're saying?
Four columns. Four candles. Four candles.
Candles for columns.
Cools.
Oh, no.
Four cums.
Four columns.
I've got something to say.
What?
Fork off.
Fuck off, Paul.
Shit. Archbishop of Banterbury has returned.
Here is the first game. It is called the sock game.
Oh, that's your socks. Yeah.
Barry,
yeah.
Stuart, I have two
Christ.
Socks.
What is this?
Two very long, very, very long socks. And inside each sock,
like there is... Botox.
There is... Mate, I'm not even joking.
Yeah.
I was naked the other day, and this wasn't too dissimilar to what I saw getting changed. Oh, it was yeah. a sobering experience. Inside each sock are the exact same items, right? So whatever's in this sock is in this sock, right? And those items are things like a poker chip, a golf tee, a plectrum, a cork, a letter tile from like a Scrabble thing, a bolt, yeah. a draft piece, a tiny little plastic pig, a hotel, tiny little like Monopoly hotel, a nut, elastic band, etc., etc., etc. What's going to happen is I'm going to spin this wheel. It's going to land on an item, and it's basically simple. You reach into the sock and you fish around for it, and the first one to pull it out wins. All
sounds
right.
good, yeah.
And you're allowed to put both hands in the sock?
Just one hand. Oh. You can only have one hand. Well, the one needs to support the pouch underneath, you know?
You can use the other hand to support the pouch. And
if you a sock. Yeah.
I'd right. recommend definitely doing that. Because otherwise they're all chasing away from you.
Yeah. It's a lot harder than you think, this game.
Well,
I will
Paul
say that.
Says that because I owned him so hard when we played this. It was incredible.
Are there any razor blades?
One. There's a knitting needle in there. A broken piece of glass. So
or small furry animals.
Yeah. Really angry rat.
Yeah.
An angry rat.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Let's do it.
So before we get going yet, now we have to go over to Chris and Ryan. Ryan, now they're going to do three rounds of this, mm-hmm. and the winner will be the one over both. You know, over the three rounds.
Yeah, best of three. Yeah.
So
yeah.
With that in mind, who do you think will win this, Stuart or Barry?
Oh, I think...
Go with your heart, right?
Oh, go with your heart, yeah. In that case, I think Barry will win. Stuart or Taylor.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
So Ryan is saying that Barry will win this first
predicting
one.
Predicting Barry.
Yeah. Okay, Chris, where do you stand?
I know this goes against... where we normally end up with bars for your hens, but I just feel like the baking dexterity is
really?
Going to give Barry an advantage.
Yeah, that's it.
Stuart is used to handling small pieces of tat.
Do you have
I
this
mean,
game
he too? Is an absolute master of just handling like, tat.
So, yeah. Yeah, so
both
know.
Of them gone for Barry, yeah. though.
Can I vote for Stu?
You can vote for Barry. Yeah. I guess you could. Yeah. Like an inside dealing kind of thing.
Yeah, just remembering the scores from before when we used to play. Right.
So just to be... absolutely clear. You're both predicting Barry to win this this manipulating small objects game, yeah?
Yes.
And now I need to ask you what you think the price of this game is. I got it from a charity shop about a year or two ago now. I will say it's under a fiver, but that's all I will say for it.
Am
Ryan,
I allowed to see the spinny disc
yeah,
thing?
You can have a look.
Shall we have a look? Let's look together
is it,
and see.
It's a proper... Is it just, it's
and it,
just
are
quite
the, are
thin
these
card,
licensed
it?
Pieces of Monopoly?
Do you know what? I think they are, actually, because this is sourced of all the kind of weird bits of knickknacks that need to fill out the socks. So,
all the leftover bits.
But how much do you think this game costs?
Ooh.
I would say a solid 250.
250, says Chris. Now, the important thing about guessing here is that if you get the price spot on, you're going to get two Petwings.
Wow.
If you're out within 25p either way of the actual price... That's just the one Petwing, but it's still a worthy Petwing. All right. So Chris says £2.50. Ryan?
I am going to say £3.75.
£3.75.
I got it.
For Ryan. Right, now we're back to Stuart and Barry. Right.
You could make this game yourself quite
easily. Oh, yeah, no, you could.
Yeah, what a waste of fucking money.
Yeah.
I mean, no, you're right, you could. But what I like about this is it kind of gets rid of all the fuss of having to look around the house with bits of shit to put in the sock. I'm finding two of each as well.
Barry, you should make an edible version of this game.
Ooh. What would the sock be made of?
Licorice.
Oh, licorice. Yeah. Haggis.
Reach into the fucking guts of a sheep.
Yeah.
Oh, what about Alan Cummings' discarded scrotum?
Oh, yes, perfect.
That is well, the best how many Botoxes can you do before it just withers off?
That's one way to find out.
That's a great name for it, isn't it?
Alan Cummings.
Right, so we're going to do round one now. I'm going to spin and I'll go 3, 2, 1, and then you reach in, okay?
And
reach,
I don't two, want any reach. Touching.
Yeah, no fishing.
We can cup?
Yeah, you can cup.
You can cup lightly, but I don't want the ends of your fingers touching the end before the thing is announced.
Barry's right in there.
Yeah, right in there.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Right, I'm going to spin it now. And the item you are going to be looking for in this round is A bouncing ball. Ooh. 3, 2, 1.
Oh, Barry! Man!
Barry had his hand right up the sock.
We believed in you, you cheating bastard.
I'm in the shopping centre again. I'm sorry.
Right, to even this out, I'm going to say go to Stuart first, wait a bit at half a second, then you can reach in, all right?
Sorry. Should we just enter the top of the sock at the same time?
Stupid!
Ready?
Can I change my guess?
No.
I'm going to say 3, 2, 1, Stuart, and then I'll say Barry.
Okay, it's like that it is.
Yeah.
Like the
3, 2, 1, Stuart. Yeah. Barry, go. And they're fishing around inside. They've reached down deep into the sock. Barry's got it out!
That's not bouncy, is it?
Yes!
This is the bouncy ball. That's the ping pong ball.
It's a ping pong ball.
It does bounce, though.
No, but that's not a bouncy ball.
No! Oh, hang on.
There's a ping pong ball on it as well.
Oh, balls.
VAR. That's a point to Stuart, clear and simple.
Oh, you know what? There is a difference between ping pong balls.
I was going to say, because I found a ping pong ball on my way.
We have adjudicated, and it has fallen onto Stuart's favour.
Okay.
Sorry,
guys.
Put the item back in the bag.
Ryan, you're really into this. Wow.
I know.
It's not going to get much better.
It's
sorry.
Right. In weeks.
I could have told you he was going to win.
Are the items back in? Right. Round two. Spinning the thing. Here we go. Spinning it. What has it landed on this time?
Wait for the countdown, everybody.
Elastic band. All right. Three, two, one. Sock. And they're fishing inside the sock again.
No, wait.
You hurry. Who's going to pull it out? It's going to be quick.
Does it bounce?
Well played.
Yeah, it bounces.
Well played, Barry. Barry.
Can I raise a point here?
I
couldn't help but notice when both of the socks lie dormant on each competitor's laps that Stuart had his hand on the sock and Barry did not.
Well, either way, he still came ahead with the points, so I'm going to let it lie.
Wow, Ryan. Wow. So I've never seen you so animated.
Right, final
round. No.
I never did find the elastic.
I need to return this.
Oh, shit, it was at the top.
Oh, no,
wait, there's a hairband. Oh, well.
Should we try and get
it?
Oh,
close enough.
So far
it needs to be in there.
You moved it away from the ball and went,
So are we allowed to cut the sock at the bottom?
Sorry?
During the holding.
You specifically said earlier you could.
Once you've started, but no pre-cupping.
Yeah, no pre-cupping.
That's different to what you said.
Once you start,
either way,
you don't have to do this.
Because it's 1-1, I'm going to let it go. Provide we all obey the rules.
Can
in the
we
third
clarify
final
any
round.
Ambiguous rules then for before the
It decider. All depends on clarifying helps you win or not, really, at this point, doesn't it?
Yeah, too much.
Just checking.
I'm not going to touch it until you say
here
go.
Here is the third and final item. I'm spinning the wheel now, and it's spinning and it's spinning and it's
Please
landed
on. Please wait for the countdown, everybody.
Right. You are going to be fishing for a tiny little Monopoly hotel. Oh, right.
Ooh, crikey.
3, 2, 1, sock. And they're reaching into the sock on this third and final round. It's 2-1 each to each of them. Ooh. Who will find that little tiny house first and pull it out of the sock and raise it above their head? Yeah, there's loads of things in there. But they're fishing around. It's like watching two old men in the park getting away with all sorts of mischievous nonsense. Oh, it looks like it's Barry. That'll count.
Is it? Well done, Barry.
It's like a wooden barn.
Yeah. I guess they couldn't use the red one for Lidl, but that is the one on the card.
Are we sure?
Yeah, that is the one on the card. It's the only one like
you
that that exists.
You both got the twins.
120 each.
Never found the last two.
I won something again.
What was it called?
Barry has
Batang,
won.
Batang. No, it's not Batang.
It's been 95 years or whatever.
What is it?
Yeah,
the Titanic meme is.
But I can safely say that Barry has won round one of Balls versus Hens, which means
I still can't
Ryan
find the rubber
gets
band.
There.
So does Chris.
We both get a between.
I just checked there's a rubber band in it.
Stu got a rubber band in there. We're just seeing if he's got anything in there.
I'm sure there is.
No.
You see, there's loads of stuff in there. Tiny foot, little house. There's proof in the pudding. There's a little thing on the floor, so don't lose all that.
But is there an actual rubber band?
It got really busy in there. There's loads of stuff.
There's a lot of stuff going in there. There's lots. Right.
Now, I just need to warn a certain member of the Barshans team.
Yeah.
Ryan.
Hello.
No mocking of the point system because you will get patwanished.
That's a new one.
I don't want that.
That's a new wrinkle.
That sounds nice.
Right, so a point
can I just
to
point
Barry.
Out,
do you not have a rubber band?
There is no rubber band in my
world. Oh!
There was a hair band. hand, which is similar.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
There wasn't one in mine either.
Honestly. You have to bring your own.
Paul, what are we going to do about that? Moving on.
Took off my scrotum clip.
The victory is tarnished.
Oh, well.
It's not really, considering our track record. Actually. If anything, this is slightly above average.
Chris, do you want to mock the betwing, or just want to accept it?
I would like to accept it, please.
Right. So,
what
quickly.
Is it? I wasn't being facetious, was it?
It's a betwing.
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 A betwing.
Betwing. Betwing. Betwing's the thing. So,
Between
Eli, for you, nice. Eli, I need you to... Barry won that first Bars versus Hens. Mm. Ryan got the point.
We both got
and
a now, point.
And
now the price.
For this price.
No, sorry, we both got a point.
Did you say Barry as well?
Yes, yeah, they both said Barry.
Oh, can't believe it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So I wouldn't have voted for myself, can't believe it.
Very good, very well done.
So how much did Chris say for the game?
I think I said 250.
Chris said 250.
And Ryan, how did you say?
£3.75.
I can tell you now that the price was £3.50. So
oh, wow.
Ryan gets a betwing.
One betwing for you there, Ryan, because you are within 25p of the price there.
Well, and it's now time to move on to our second game.
Which means Ryan has got the most betwings so far overall.
And Barry is leading in the Bars versus Hens
battle off. Certainly is.
Well, I'm so thrilled. Oh, I can't fucking wait for the next one.
Oh! Humpback whale, that was.
Right, it is round two of Bars versus Hens, and this one is a game called Get a Grip. And it's a game where you do challenges during doing drawings or sculpting or activities, but the trick is your thumb has been bound to your palm, so you have to do everything without your thumb. So I've put a little patch on Stuart and a little one on Barry, and all they can do is use their four fingers, right?
Yep.
With that being said, we now move... It's a very simple game, and we'll get into the rules in a minute, but Ryan, who's going to win this? Barry or Stuart? Who's the most dexterous, do you think, without a thumb?
That is a wonderful question, and I will answer it for you now.
Yes.
I think, going from what I've seen before of his reviewing of things, I think Stuart's better at picking lots of things up in one go.
It's a wise...
Because Barry is also clumsy. Isn't that right, Barry?
Yeah, yeah. There's no socks on this, is there?
No, not today.
Damn.
You're a sockless chap.
Okay, so we have Ryan's prediction. He predicts Stuart will win this round.
But now, Chris,
moving to you, please.
Just thinking the interests of keeping a bit of jeopardy, I'll go with Barry then.
Wow, fancy having...
What's the fun in that? Let's go down together, man.
Chris, no edge bullock. How about that?
But smooth.
Yeah, smooth.
Sorry.
Chris Tox. I don't know what I'm doing. So, now the price. How much do you think I got this? Now, to be fair, this one came in a PO box, but I have two other versions of this that have been sent to us, and one of them I have bought. And I can tell you the price is once again under £5 for this, but Chris, will start with you. How much do you think Get a Grip cost me in a charity shop?
Oh, it's quite a lot of bits, isn't it?
Yeah.
£3.
£3. And Ryan?
£3 on the nose.
See, it's quite a lot of bits, but I also saw it was brand new as well because you had to open the something from cellophane. So I think...
But is the money bought brand new?
Yeah, you see.
I'm going to say £4.
£4?
No.
Oh.
I will not.
Yeah.
I will say 450 English pennies.
450 English pennies. Good to know.
I'm locking that in for you now, Ryan. Okay. Why does your lock have a bass?
Why not? I've got a dubstep lock, yeah. Right.
I've got vaporwave handlebars.
It's like Ghostbuster vibes on the design as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I noticed that as well. It's
kind Paul, this is something interesting that you know.
Is it?
What is that What is that sign called? The no...
It's actually got a number that I can't remember right now, but it's something like... it's something like O-something-356. It's something like that, officially, the name of that code. I don't have it
the
to
code
hand.
Name for that si- that type of sign.
But effectively, it's a no-entry sign, isn't it, effectively?
Well, it's a no whatever's in the circle.
Yeah.
And this.
And triangles are usually warnings.
Do you know...
Yeah.
There are...
Don't you squint your eyes at me as if to say that sounds like bollocks.
Well, no, it's not bollocks. It's just... I drive, so obviously...
The driving theory test.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those triangles are warnings.
Yes.
Be careful of, look out for.
I'm disappointed.
Tumbling rocks, men and umbrellas.
I'm disappointed that it doesn't actually have a sort of actual...
Cock in a hand and it says, ugh, don't wank.
No.
Get a grip. don't get it. I don't know.
Whoa.
So, I'm
Paul,
sorry.
Slow down. Slow down.
Deep breaths, Paul.
I've noticed there's a whole species of sign in Haringey which are, you know, telling people not to do things and stuff, not to park. But they're all from the 70s. So all of the silhouettes inside these signs are well 70s. There's like no ball games, and it's got like, it looks like the silhouette of like George Best, like, and then there's got no walking. It's got
no George Best.
And it's got no walking. Yeah. And it's some guy, he's got flares, like Cuban heels, that, you know, strutting like a like Minder or something, you know?
It's true, they have never updated.
They never update them. They're really culturally specific to the 70s. The car looks like a Morris Minor or something. Yeah. And the dogs look like Moomin dogs. That's not a 70s thing. The dog's face is badly rendered in the silhouette. That's all.
Where's that in London, is it?
Yes.
Oh, right.
I think it's everywhere. Pretty much. Like, no, he's always the flares guy. Isn't
he? You know the flares guy. Yeah. I think he's a bit more widespread. Yeah.
You know. Do you know the flares guy?
There is like a more neutral one as well you see more often, isn't there? But the flares guy does still exist.
I love that flares guy.
We need a map, like a Google Maps overlay of where flares guy is.
Yes. I want to actually record and document these 70s silhouette signs.
Yeah. Great stuff.
Right. It's better than what you were doing.
So here's
grip wank something, spodge something.
So
grip.
You just thought you'd spend more time taking the piss out of me doing it than me actually doing it, and you get to get away
Look
with it.
Look at the toilet spoon. Hypno toilet spoon.
I do as your command.
Go to the toilet. No, not here. Right, ready for the next game. I think that's buoyed everyone.
I've just put a brown, full stop in my pants. Right. First thing you're going to do without your thumb is called the button-up challenge, right?
Okay.
And what you're going to need to do is you need to stand up for this, I think.
Right.
And I'm going to give you a minute, and you've got a minute to button up as many of your shirt buttons as possible without your thumb.
And
right?
I can tell, and I can say to the listeners at home, they have the original Barshans shirts
on. Oh, yeah, they
do. The light blue shirts.
Yep.
Barry has the three bars. And Stuart has the hens.
Can I just interject for the sake of being overly competitive? My client has his shirt much more open than Barry right now.
Yeah, they're going to be standing up. They're going to be standing up.
I'll flare it.
All right.
Yeah. You didn't tell me that.
Well, you didn't let to get me to the point.
Well, were you ever going to get to that point?
Ryan.
That one up.
Can I just... Ryan. Betweens don't actually mean anything in real life.
No, not really.
It's okay. Oh. It's okay to lose this. I mean, it wouldn't have any impact whatsoever.
Although, to be fair, the loser of today's show will be spanked with Eli's wooden hypno spoon.
I vote Barry. Barry's going to win.
I think this is going to be really hard.
Hey. I'm in the other room.
I can't do
I've
it
got the
hands.
Toilet spoon. Toilet spoon.
Toilet spoon.
Toilet spoon.
So do you think, who do you think is going to win this then?
I still think Stuart.
Stuart. So he's going to say Stuart.
We've done this.
Oh, yeah, we have.
Do you know Kim Newman was in there
I don't care about what the hoi polloi of film critical review had
to
say.
He was there. They were discussing horror films.
I don't give a fuck what those two think.
And Mark Kermode. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I don't give a fuck about their opinions. Mark Kermode likes The Exorcist, which to me paints him as a dullard.
Hi, Mark. Right. There he is.
Kim Newman apparently holds parties
that
are quite dull.
Pieces of filmmaking.
You said this. Right, so you two need to stand up. Right. Wait for the microphones.
This is
going to
be tough.
For this.
I can't even do this with two hands.
This is exciting.
Right. Right, we're filming this as well. Somewhere the footage will be.
Ew.
Right. Okay.
So you can't use your other hand at all?
You can't use your other hand. You have one hand to do as many buttons. You have as many. You have a minute to do it.
Sit back down. I'm not sure this is physically possible.
If you get one button and the other one gets none, it still counts.
Yeah, but you still got to get one button.
Yeah, I could do it.
Surely nothing on earth
could
perform such a task.
No.
I get it. How could I do it? You can use your gut as well to press against.
Oh, yeah, that's
what I do.
My bastard.
You stop it.
We're just joining in this solidarity.
Well, don't. I don't want any solidarity at all. Ready, Eli? We're going to kick it off in 3, 2, 1. Button up! You got a minute. Here we go.
Oh no, this is very hard. Have we got a tactic?
No.
This is ridiculous.
It is ridiculously hard, but they're going for it now. They're pressing
the
button.
They can use the other hand.
No, they can't. They can't do it. They have to use one hand only to button up as many as possible. You have 30 seconds left.
We look like we're just fondling ourselves.
Oh, it's nice.
Oh, that's so close.
Come on, you're nearly there to do a button. Who's done it? Anyone done a button yet? We got 20 seconds left on the clock. We're looking for an Ann Button.
19.
Here we get Ann Button. Oh, he's getting so close.
It's actually in.
Is it almost close? Yeah, just got we have 12 seconds left now on the clock for anyone to do a button.
9.
8. 7. 6. 5. 4, 3, 2, 1. Stop.
Stop. Didn't even get close.
It was in there. And then
no points there. No points there.
That was really hard.
No.
Try it at home, folks.
I.
Right. It was right there.
Sit back down. You can stand down. Unfortunately, none of you got a button pressed. I can't award a point for that. So it all depends on this next round.
He's done it.
Ryan's done it.
Ryan's done it. But
my
Ryan's
buttons
not
are much bigger.
Point. Yeah. You've got child-sized Duplo buttons for baby hands, haven't you? That's what it is. So take
and
a seat.
Softer,
sit back
softer
down.
Top as well.
Can we remove the gloves?
No. You've got one more round. This is going to be the clincher now. So I'm just going to put this on your lap. Because you're going to need this as a table. Because... weirdly, this almost becomes a Plasticine King thing now.
Oh,
so a kind of bonus get a grip version of Plasticine King. So I'm going to give you a little dollop of Play-Doh or whatever it is.
Nice.
I don't know what you're referring to there. Is that a game that I was never around for?
Yeah, no, you weren't there for the King. Who was a King expert.
Why didn't you ever get me in for that?
You were always like late or filming or something, weren't you? Yeah. Right, so I've kept this one simple, right? You're going to have a minute, once again, to build something with your one hand without the thumb, right? But I didn't do anything too complicated. What you've got to do now is sculpt, and it says here, an angry snowman. So somehow...
Well, it's red, of course. Red plasticine, so that's good. Oh, is it more like Play-Doh?
It is, yeah.
Does it have the smell?
Hang on. Yeah, it does.
Ooh.
Ooh, yeah, ooh, it smells a bit off as well, though.
Yeah. Asian factory vibes.
Yeah. Oh. What do you think of that smell, Ryan?
Oh,
is it toothsome?
Oh, it smells.
Does
almost
it bring you back?
It's almost yeasty.
Oh yeah.
Oh, have a whiff.
Sniff my yeast.
Oh,
so this is going to be
my yeasty Play-Doh.
So, Ryan, who do you think will create the bestest, angry snowman using one hand?
Oh,
and no thumb.
I'm going to back Stuart again, I think. I think Stuart's got this.
Chris. Okay, Ryan predicts Stuart. Chris?
I think this is, again, quite a bakery kind of thing, so I'll go with that.
Okay, I don't need to write any new ones, because that's what you did for
the last... Well, you have 1 minute with one hand to make, as best you can, an angry snowman.
No, that's 59 seconds on there. I can see from there.
Oh, is it gone?
You fucking cheat.
All right, I said it before I kicked it off anyway.
I know, but you're sloppy. You're shoddy.
You're sloppy and
you're
shoddy.
You're slack.
And slack.
You hang low.
Your balls are wrinkled.
You swing to and fro.
Your balls clack like 70s toys. Clicky, clacky, clicky, clacky, clacky.
They banned those, didn't they?
Yeah.
Too many black eyes.
Did they ban them?
Yeah.
They hurt you. They shattered and hurt.
What about the ones from Karate Kid 2? The old like little drum, innit? With a little thing.
Oh, yeah. The little drum thing.
Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw this film. Shaw Brothers.
Oh, Shaw Brothers.
Five Elements Ninjas. You have to see that.
I don't think I've seen... I watched Boxer's Omen recently.
Yeah, no, this shit's on Boxer's Omen.
Right, okay.
Boxer's Omen's pretty fucking out there.
No, this has got much better fight scenes than Boxer's Omen.
Ooh, okay.
Boxer's Omen is some terrible stock footage telling people to visit Thailand. And then it's got some kind of bat skeleton.
Yeah.
And also, Boxer's Omen's got all these bits with people biting the arse of a chicken and then all spitting and stuff, and that was really horrible.
I don't remember that.
Shut up, they're gonna do some snowmen. I'm gonna count to 3, 2, 1 and then you'll make your angry snowman. You've got a minute to do so. 3, 2, 1 build. And they're off. And
it goes up the nails, doesn't it?
What I might do is I might call the Plasticine King to judge which one does the best one.
Right, in the foyer?
You can stay here. I'll just call him.
Eli,
just keep quiet when he's here.
Eli, can you go get me a drink, please? Is that all right?
Oh, yeah. Go get him a drink then.
Thank you.
All right, and I'll
what
bring
would
in
you
the
like?
Plasticine.
Plasticine
once, wasn't he?
What?
Wasn't Ash the King of Plasticine?
No, he was more the Duke
There's
of
no,
Dough.
I can get you a glass of water.
Yeah.
That'd be lovely, thank you.
Chris, drink? Water?
Oh, sure.
Are you actually doing this seriously? Because I mean
that,
water
I think
just there.
Ryan was being serious.
I thought it was just
more.
A game
it's just an
room.
Excuse to get rid of you to bring the character of the Plasticine King in.
All right, I'll go then.
Can I have a glass of water, please?
You have 15 seconds left to put together an angry snowman. 10 seconds. I will spend more time confusing like what you were doing with your fake character. All right. Now you're a train station announcer. That's it. Stop. Put your snowmen down as they are. Okay. Oh, who's this? Why, it's the Plasticine King.
Harumph.
Oh my God, he's back.
Hey, I know this is more Play-Doh than Plasticine King, but since you're here, could you pass your judgment on these two builds?
I suppose so.
Yes?
Yes.
We have basically, they were told to one-handed and without a thumb, build an angry snowman. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to show you now each one, and you're going to judge which one is the winner, all right?
Just one little question.
Yes.
Education level of the snowman I'm looking for?
The education level is basically master's tops.
Okay.
Oh, that passed muster then. So here's I'm going to take a picture of this for the internet, so don't smash it yet. But here is Barry's... I don't know what this is, but it looks like something that hatches from John Hurt's chest.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. I like that.
It's a bit of a pyramid.
It's a bit of a... It's a red dough. Everything you're seeing is made of just one colour, a red Play-Doh type
matter. He's angry because he's half melted and his face is on there looking upset and he's wearing his hat. That's the... And it even does music as well.
Oh, man. Meant to be an angry snowman.
Yes. Yeah.
Looks more like... a angry embryo atop a snail.
Do you like how
a
his
flattened
arms are
snail?
His arms are still kind of like going. I've got my arms still because they don't melt.
He looks like he's in a straitjacket. Perhaps he's very angry. This is not without artistic merit. Has to be said. I like the snail detail.
Yeah,
it wasn't asked for though, was it? No. You could have. I think your efforts and mental resources. Should have been expended on making the Santa. Is it Santa? Snowman. The snowman. I don't fucking know. The snowman angrier and less snail.
Fine. Yeah. Good to know. All right. So don't pass judgment until you've seen Stuart. So just put that there. Right, Stuart. Pass me your effort.
Oh wow. I mean. Oh, that looks terrible.
Again, these were both made one-handed with no thumb. Bear that in mind if you would. It toppled.
My boy.
It toppled.
Very angry.
Now.
Yeah. Oh dear.
It looks more like a duck.
It does look like one of those ducks
it
you get.
It looks like one of those ducks.
Tubs.
However, and what it.
That's the afterbirth. It's splodge. A newly born snowman.
Okay.
Snowman.
Nice mustache, unibrow opposition here going on. Yeah. Yeah, much more snowman-like, has to be said.
Damn. I went snowman.
But which one are you going to give the point to?
I'm going to have to give it to this because it is more like a snowman.
In that case, Stuart...
Is that okay? Can I go now?
Yeah, you can go
Mark
now.
Mark Commode, Kim Newman.
Yeah?
They're interested in what I do.
What film could you possibly be interesting them with?
Well, snowman. I've Plasticine King 1.
Oh, yeah. The origin story.
The snowman.
Plasticine King the First.
Yeah.
Right.
Fellowship of the
Shall
Plasticine.
Shall I get that Eli?
Yeah, bring that little twat in. Okay, well that works for you. So, Eli, put those down carefully. I need to take pictures of them still. But, sit back down. So, it's
there's
now...
There's your water, Ryan.
It's now...
Oh, thank you. Hang on.
Welcome back.
Eli, Barry won the first one. Stuart's won this round. Okay, have you made the note of that?
I will.
Hang on, no one won the first one, did they?
No, Barry won it clear and straight.
No,
but that wasn't counted, so it was all based on this one. As a result, this was the round that earns the point. So Stuart now has won that particular round of
Bargains. Yeah.
Now for the price. Ryan said
450.
450, Ryan said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 450.
Chris said £3 on the nose.
And it was... £3 on the nose.
Between!
Holy shit!
Between there. And who got points for betting? Because they both bet...
Ryan predicts Stuart.
Oh, so that's a between for you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Chris predicts Barry. In fact, you're absolutely right there, Paul, because Chris and Ryan are on three betwings each.
And it's also one between each for this.
It's all to play for as we move into the last round.
All right. Blow me Sparky Chunker! Get up! Right, on to the final round.
Can we take the glove off?
Oh,
And the toilet spoon is broken.
Eli broke the toilet spoon. Broke the toilet spoon.
Where will we shit now?
My toilet spoon's got all flacky.
You have to poo on the spoon and then carry it to a bin.
Oh, feed it.
Out the way, Mark.
Hot stuff coming through. Anyway, we are playing our final Bars versus Hens game, and it is called Pac-Man Magnetic Maze Game. Trap the ghosts before the ghosts trap you. And this is a physical Tomy toy where you play Pac-Man. He's got a little marble underneath him, and with your tilt and tumble table and a joystick, you move him around the maze, collecting fruit one at a time and avoiding ghosts. It's kind of that simple. It's a bit visual, but we're doing a video on this. It will be up on our YouTube channel. You can watch it there and have lots of larks and laughs.
Can I ask one request?
Yeah.
Please say tilt and tumble table again.
Tilt and tumble table.
Nice.
Yes. Wonderful stuff. So, do you have a coin, Eli?
Fuck me.
I mean, that's a stupid question. Maybe I should never ask you if you have change on you. Just to toss to see who goes first.
Fucking hell.
Brian or...
He's got plenty.
So who's going to go first? Brian or Samson? Will it be?
I've just realised I'm not giving you a coin. I've given you the token.
I like it.
Is it a trolley coin?
Why is that trolley token?
I like that trolley token.
Little Paul is a token trolley token.
It's a token trolley token. Right. So, before we go any further,
does
Ryan,
that work as a coin?
Yes, for tossing it certainly is.
No, but it might be the same on both sides.
That's what I was wondering. Oh, no, it's
there
blank.
Is a heads and there is a tails.
It's trolleys or nothing.
Trolleys or nothing. Trolleys or nothing.
My all right, I'll tell you what, then let's toss this first, get out of the way. Barry, trolley or nothing?
Trolley.
Trolley. Ooh. Do you want to go first or second?
I'll go second.
Ryan, with all that being said, who's going to win the Pac-Man tilt and tumble table game? Is it going to be Stuart or the Barry?
Oh, if I recall from previous Bars v Hens, Barry was actually quite good at these games. However,
I think you're remembering wrong.
I was very drunk. I think, though, this kind of thing is in Stuart's lifeblood, so I'm going to say Stuart.
Okay. And how much do you think this game costs? Now, I will say this. This is over £5. It was an eBay purchase, but no more than 10. So
between five and ten.
I think it's only fair for this particular round. We allow them to have 50p either way.
You've got a 50p margin this time, which means if you guess the price within 50p of the actual price, you get the full between.
I'll be quite upset if it's not right at the upper echelons. You know,
you still
that's
get two
a
betweens
nice
on the nose, though. Two betweens on the nose.
And this price isn't including postage or packaging.
No,
nothing
it's
like
the actual
that.
Item.
It's the
right.
actual RRP.
I reckon. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I reckon. I reckon about.
Moving on to Chris.
How specific
Park
can I
like
go?
Like a 5-year-old at a theme park.
My name's Paul. My personality's Ghostbusters. Shut up.
Hey!
Whoa! Simmering resentment bubbling
I'd
to
like
the surface.
I'd like to say my film series has a better track record than yours, but
yeah,
I think it's debatable.
Well, you're right.
it's more like this at this point, isn't it?
Sorry. Yes.
How
I will
is this
say
between 5 and 10.
I'm going to go £8.50.
£8.50, you say, right. £8.50, you say. Now, moving to you, Chris, what would be your prediction on the price?
Who do you think's going to win, though, first? Barry or Stuart this time?
This game is classic, Stuart. I've got to go with Stuart.
Got to go with Stuart there. Barry, you are the odds on underdog here.
Yeah. No pressure now. It's been released. I'm just thinking of Kong Man, School of Scramble. What was the other ones?
Paul, no one likes that. What are you doing?
You're doing that betting thing they do at the horses.
Going underwater.
Tic-tac, is that what it's called? Tic-tac, flip-flap?
Well, land a plane.
Yeah. Mic-mac.
Paul, you look like someone who turns up at an airport who's mental.
Just give him some bats. Just give him some bats.
Anyway, how much do you think this is?
Or the pilot. It's me.
How much?
I was going to go 8, but that's a bit close.
You can go 8.
I'll go 9.
9.
Sorry, Chris. So it was Stuart for the prediction, yeah?
Yes.
Stuart's
yes.
prediction and £9 for the price. Yeah,
£9 on the nose for
and
the price.
It's an absolute steal at that because it's such a beautiful classic.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, I would happily pay 9, maybe even 10 pence for that.
Right. So, here's the deal. You've got 1 minute and 30 seconds to collect as all, if you can,
Does
the points.
Does he start in the corner?
No, he starts in the corner, yeah.
Paul, can I ask one thing?
Yes.
In the unlikely event of a draw, do you have a
yes,
tiebreaker?
I do. All right.
Wow. Yes.
To get a grip round.
Okay, go on. Great.
All right. So, Stuart is going first. Okay.
How long do I have?
1 minute and 30 seconds to collect as many as you can. If a ghost hits you, you put the token you're currently carrying back where you found it and start in the corner where you began. But anything you bank beforehand without being molested by a ghost is yours to keep.
Post what about phantasm molestation, does the ghost go back in his corner?
Yes. Everything gets reset when a ghost makes contact with Mr. Pac-Man. All right? Okay. Even when you're back to the beginning, though, with a collected token, wherever the creatures are, they stay there. All right? Oh,
this is like quite... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is tricky,
so,
isn't it?
So, I'm going to actually dip this up and film it this way.
Are they on ball bearings?
The ghosts as well? Yeah, there's a marble underneath the ghosts and the marble, so that's why they roll
around. Bloody clever, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is.
Right, so we are...
So this is the unstable table from Scribble Scramble.
It's more like rock and roll.
And you can see.
Yeah, but also,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I am now filming this. Eli, you're going to have to give running commentary if and there you can. But we're going to start. Stuart's going first in 3, 2, 1, begin. And black, 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 black. And he's
And hello, you join us today at Pac-Man Games. And Stuart's off to a start, but he's in danger of the red ghost. And he's got one of them home.
He's got one token.
It's a deft feel of his fingers. Caressing the knobble, and and he's going for his second, and he's got it. But the red ghost, a constant threat here. The ghost is back in his corner, and look, he's brought two magic biscuits home, and he's off. He's after the third biscuit,
the ghost and
he looks like he's going to get it.
Ghost contact.
Reset there. So and how many seconds does he have on the clock
50
left?
Seconds
he's got 50
now.
Seconds. He's going for that elusive third. Oh look. The red ghost is coming at him. The red ghost is coming right at him. Oh, and he's hidden from the ghost. The ghost's a constant threat. And the green ghost there, just eyeing him as he goes under the hoop. And he's just got to get this biscuit home. He's got the biscuit home. He's full score. Full score.
26 seconds left on the clock. 26 seconds left on the clock. So that means it was 1 minute. And 4 seconds.
And Stuart has scored a full.
Can you write 1 minute 4 seconds down for Stuart so we know what his time was, please? Please. As we hand over to Ryan and reset the Pac-Man board.
Wheel and come
have
again.
Seen it in action, yeah. Ryan. So you what was that?
I might have to go quite aggressive with this.
Well, you know, what? Sometimes Eli.
Why have you called Barry Ryan?
I know. Just...
Oh God.
Paul.
Oh no. Should
have
for
Starks. What's that number that was supposed to have written down?
1 minute and 4 seconds.
And whose name was I putting next to it?
Stuart.
Okay. He got a bit excited, that red one at the end, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, he did.
Starting to get in there.
He's out of the way, but when you get to this one, he's a cheeky.
Yeah, he's
bagger.
A pain in the arse. You've got to sneak up.
Right, okay.
And it's time now for the second contestant here at the Pac-Man game. Testimonial here at St Andrews, bit of precipitation in the air, look, it's a duck.
Okay,
right, ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, begin.
And Barry's set off. It's a bit more of a jerky style, and he's got the ghost already. The ghost has got him already, and he's putting it back. He's reset, and he's going again. He's got a very jerky style. I'm not used to this style. Oh, and he can't. He's gone too fast through the gate to pick up. Nope. Now he's picked up a biscuit. He's got a biscuit home. He's got a cherry biscuit home. He's got a cherry limited edition jammy dodger, and he's got the second one.
Does he reset?
Oh, he's onto a blinder. Oh, Barry with his crude style. Oh. With his magic crude style, he's done it. Stop the clock.
With 51 seconds left on Blimey. The clock. That is a definitive win for Barry.
Oh, God. I got this at home. It's a good game.
Wow. I told you he's good at these. Oh. I told you. Yet I didn't back him.
Been practicing for 7 years.
Seconds.
What's on the day?
Yeah.
What's the whole timer? 2 minutes.
I felt like 2 minutes.
1:30, and he had 56 left.
Yeah, so he has definitely won this.
Yeah, I just want to know. 34 seconds.
Yes.
So I realised you control the ghosts as well as the Pac-Man, of course. So that was the trick, wasn't it? Yeah.
So there we go.
That was a bit hairy there at the end.
Almost half, almost twice as fast as you there, Stuart.
Oh, wow.
I think it helps going.
Thanks for working that out, Eli.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I think it helps going second.
If it's. If it's worth anything, you were more gracious and nice to watch. But Barry, Barry bumping it through those
words. Barry's more exciting. Barry was the Fast and the Furious to my bullet.
I reckon if you did it again, though, you'd probably be a lot quicker.
With that being said, who did Ryan vote for to win?
They both voted for Stuart, so no betwings for you on the predictions there. Sorry, guys.
So did you need a decider?
First of all, we're going to do the proper awards at the end.
Awards? I don't know, I haven't thought that far ahead.
But in terms of score, this is really interesting because I do know the answer, obviously. But tell them what they guessed and then I'll tell them what the price was.
Chris, firstly, you guessed it would be 9.
What was sorry, that? A little bit of Windy Pops.
Argada.
Yeah.
£9, you said, Chris.
And how much did Ryan say?
He was close to that, £8.50. Now, remember, if it is 9... Chris will get 2 betwings and if it is 9, if it's 8.50 you'll get 2 betwings and you'll get 1 betwing. So we're hoping it's in the range of £8.50 to £9 for the betwingage.
It is exactly £9 on the nose.
So Chris
gets 2 betwings there.
Wow,
so
that's great.
And Ryan does get 1 betwing there for the 50
points. So in the final scores for Ryan and Chris are what, Mr. Silverman?
Ryan has 4 betwings, betwing. But our winner of the second tier bash, whatever you want to call it.
You bet. Gannon's Golden Games.
It's Chris with 5 betwings. Wow.
But the important thing here is that we actually do have a winner of Bars versus Hens, maybe the ultimate Bars versus Hens we've ever done. And that winner, would you believe it, is Mr. Barry Lewis. Well done.
Thank you, guys.
An absolutely shocking ending there. But
they're shaking hands, everybody. There's no bad feeling here in St. Andrews.
On aggregate, it's still like 10-1 or something like that.
But it has now started to rain.
It has now started to rain. Has been called off.
Oh, the duck's swooping.
Oh, it's rain. I got nothing to add. Let's wrap this recording up. And that's it for Cheap Show / Bartians this week. Thank you to Chris, thank you to Ryan / Dan. I'd love to.
I didn't get strokes.
We'll get to you in a minute.
You said Bartians Mr. / Stewart Show.
Mr. Stewart and Mr. Barry and Mr. Eli, and I've been Mr. Gannon, and that's this week. Now, if you want to see pictures or videos for this, you can go to our website, thecheapshow.co.uk, where it's all there for you to peruse. There are also links there to all sorts of fun Cheap Show stuff. And of course, if you'd like to support us with Patreon and be one of those lucky few, you can do. Go to patreon.com/cheapshow. But as I like to say, give what you can, but only if you can. And there's a wealth of magazines and all sorts. And in fact, one of the reasons why we're doing this is because the issue of the Cheap Show magazine coming out today when this episode is released.
It's not, because Friday, I haven't finished the things that I have to do.
No, it's all done anyway, so you're locked out now.
Well, I'm sending it tomorrow morning. And
all right,
agreed.
Well, anyway, it's still
the
in the
agreed.
It is still coming out on Friday.
This is coming out this week, yeah.
We're recording it Monday. It comes out this Friday.
Sorry, just lose that bit. And also the stuff about the LGBTQ.
Yeah, I'll cut that bit out and I'll add in the stuff about all that weird hatred you have against... I'm not even going to say it. Anyway, the event has put a lot of work and effort into the latest Cheap Show magazine being a Bartians special. And not only that, but there's going to be a revamp of this particular issue to everyone who backed the Bartians tier as part of Stuart's film. So there's going to be a Cheap Show version, and then there's going to be a Bartians-backed version. But it's full of articles by Stuart, Barry's involved, you're involved, I'm involved, a bit of everything, interviews, behind-the-scenes stuff, secrets, games. It's all in the latest issue. You can get it if you're a Patreon for free, no matter what tier you join at, and it's worth it. You'll all get a copy. I'll send it all your way on Friday when it's gun and dud.
Done and good.
Done and good is the actual phrase.
So what's happening with
let's find out. What is going on, Mr. Stewart?
I'm glad you asked, Mr. Silverman.
Okay.
Thank you for asking.
Yeah. That's fine.
I appreciate it.
No, really.
That's very good of you. You did it well as well. I really did like it. It's very good, yeah. So, yes, there will be more Bartians this year. Some episodes will be free. Some, you'll have to back our film Turn Back to see. You can back it on Indiegogo now because we set the thing up because we had it on Kickstarter, and then the Kickstarter ended and people said, but can I put money in? And I was like, but it is too late. So we've set up another one. Anyway.
Okay.
If you want to have a look at the film,
what's next? You were mugging people on the street.
Oh, yes. Just waiting for the carte blanche to come through from the government.
Sorry, go on.
Holding old women upside down, shaking
their heads out. Yeah.
And one more question. And the script is finished now? Totally? Third or fourth draft? Is it?
We'll cut
reverse
that bit.
Narrative. You'll be lucky.
We'll recut that. We'll cut that bit. It's fine. So, when do you think we're going to get back together?
It will be this year at some point.
Beginning of, middle of, end of? I don't know.
Yes. Thank you for asking.
Because I've obviously got schemes and plans in mind for it. And it all depends on the time of the year. Because I think, we don't know if this is going to happen, so just because I'm saying this right now doesn't mean it's going to happen, but I think we should all do a proper ghost hunt at a proper location. And I have one or two in mind we could ask for.
Any ghosts in your house, Barry? That'd be easy.
I can take that with me.
Is your pizza barn haunted?
Is your pizza barn haunted?
I also wanted to ask you about the McDonald's Philly cheese stack. Did you try that?
I didn't, no, it's no.
What the fuck's going on?
What, Disney World? Is there another one?
That's it.
I'm going to try a vinegar sandwich.
Anyway, there's more abortions to come later in the year, and we're all very excited, and it should be what I like to call top fun. Barry, what are you up to these days, me lover?
I'm doing podcasts, actually.
Oh, yeah?
No, in London. No, still doing videos at home, ticking over. Yeah, that's mainly what I built a studio in my garden. Just
still making that sick dollar on
little,
the dollar?
Yeah.
Does it have a pizza oven in it?
I've got a pizza oven to go on the patio outside.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, one of those.
I was going to do a series of Will It Woodfire, actually, like just put random stuff in it, like
children.
Animals.
Yeah. Animals. Yeah.
That's the Gretel style, you know? Yes. Yeah.
I want to see one of those videos where they film a crushing machine inside a crushing machine. You know, you get those teeth things. Oh, they're always throwing weird shit in. I want to throw one of those weird machines into it and cause a meta recursive narrative.
Isn't there something it really struggles with, like an egg or something?
Yeah, round things are really hard. Because it can't grip it on the teeth.
Yeah. Oh, so it just bounces on the
teeth. Yeah, I've seen an egg in one just spinning around.
Infinite spinning egg.
Yeah.
Ryan, what are you up to these days? I bet you're wanking.
No. Yeah.
No, what are you up to, wanking. Love?
You're in panto, aren't you?
Yeah, I've been doing panto. I've been doing lots of acting.
You just turned this into blankety blank. Was like, where are you? Well, you can see me in panto this year.
Well, you can't now because it's over. You can see me in panto next year, though. I've been doing a load of plays. I have a lovely day job, which involves a lot of performance, and it involves working with kids, and I've heard some fucking banging kids jokes.
Oh, we need to do that.
What? I've got a joke.
Go on.
Oh, Eli got a joke.
Okay, so there's a gynecologist. Yeah,
it's not
okay.
A kid's joke.
No, it's a joke though. Yeah, gynecologist is seeing this woman, and he says, "Oh, madam, you've got an incredibly cavernous vagina, an incredibly cavernous vagina." She goes, "You don't have to repeat yourself." He goes, "I didn't."
Sorry. I get that.
That joke would have won the spitting competition.
That's an excellent joke, Paul.
No, I'm not. I've just heard it before, that's all.
All right, what about this?
I want to get to Chris.
One thing, Chris, sorry.
Can we end with your joke?
I'd like to do my kid's joke as well, actually, because
it
I heard this.
Get
and
it
I
done.
Thought of Eli. All right! And I thought of Eli straight away. Okay. Okay, here we go.
Oh, no.
Why did the cow jump over the moon that was red?
I don't know. Why did the cow jump over the moon that was red?
Because it was covered in ketchup and it wasn't a cow, it was a chip.
I mean, it makes sense now you've explained it.
That's not a joke, that's a narrative. Give the kid a kick in the arse.
Chris, what are you up to these days and where can we find you online, should you want to be found?
You can find me on Bandcamp under Bone Music. I've had some stuff out on Radio 6, on Freak Zone. Radio 3, Lake Junction, Night Train, and I've got a gig coming up in Whitby in November.
You need a gimmick, like Matt Mushroom Head guy has the mushroom, and then there's like Daft Punk with the.
You've not seen the picture of me.
Have you got one? Have you got?
Do
like
they
a,
archive like Freak Zone? Do they archive the Freak Zone? So I could go back and listen to it.
If it's on BBC Sounds,
it
probably
was on Sounds, but I don't know how far back you can go.
No, it should be there forever, basically.
Yeah.
As far as I know.
Okay, so great. I'll check that out.
And you can check it out, dear listener, too. It's a fascinating audio soundscape.
did you hear about my Daphne Oram record?
No.
I found a Daphne Oram record.
In a charity shop?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Right, Eli, what are you up to these days? You just got back from Florida, didn't you?
It's just my joke. Can I do my joke?
Yeah. Today we're going to end this Barshan's Cheap Show crossover with Eli's joke. Aren't we lucky.
Right, this guy's walking down the road and he sees this man with an incredible looking dog, and he has to stop him because he's an interesting dog. So he says, "Excuse me, sir, what kind of breed of dog is that?" And he says, "It's a French Spitz." Yeah. He goes,
I'm just going to stop recording now.
No, don't. You let me tell this joke. He says, the guy says it's a French spitz. And he goes, no, I'm sorry. Look, I was a judge at Crafts, actually. And I know for a fact there's no such breed as a French spitz. And he goes, no, sorry, I'm telling you, it is a French spitz. That's what he says. Look, there's no dog known as a French spitz. And the dog goes, Monsieur, puh.
I mean, Barry liked it, so I guess that's it.
Put-tuh. He goes, put-tuh. The dog.
And on that bombshell, we're all going to say goodbye. We'll be back with Bartons later in the year at some point. But for now, this has been a little reunion. So I'd like to thank Chris, Ryan, Stuart, Barry, Eli,
thank you.
Good self for organising this hellscape of a meetup.
And
we'll
see
you next time on the Cheap Show podcast. Tatty bye, everyone. Bye-bye. Bye.
Martians!